The first reading is Deuteronomy 26, 16 to 19, and this is the New American Standard Bible version. This day the Lord your God commands you to do these statutes and ordinances. You shall therefore be careful to do them with all of your heart and with all of your soul. You have today declared the Lord to be your God, and that you would walk in his ways and keep his statutes, his commandments, and his ordinances, and listen to his voice. The Lord has today declared you to be his people, a treasured possession, as he promised you, and that you should keep all of his commandments, and that he will set you high above all nations which he has made for praise, fame, and honor, and that you shall be consecrated people to the Lord your God as he has spoken. The next one is 1 Peter 2, 9 through 12. This is the New Century Version. But you are a chosen people, royal priests, a holy nation, a people of God's own possession. You were chosen to tell about the wonderful acts of God, who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. At one time, you were not a people, but now you are God's people. In the past, you have never received mercy, but now you have received God's mercy. Dear friends, you are like foreigners and strangers in this world. I beg you to avoid the evil things your bodies want you to do that fight against your soul. People who do not believe are living all around you and might say that you are doing wrong. Live such good lives that they will see the good things you do and will give glory to God on the day when Christ comes again.
You may be seated.
Let's start with prayer. God, I just really pray you would speak to us about being your children, to really understand the privilege, but also the responsibility, that we would not take it lightly and not diminish its infinite value. In the name of Jesus, amen. So, in the scripture reading today, did you hear what I was saying? That we're chosen. It's not by chance that we come to Christ. Do we value that? Or do we just take it for granted? Because if we take it for granted, then you really, I want to say, then there's really no responsibility. Because it's my right, I'm entitled to it. And if it's entitled, then it has no value. And we live in a culture that everything is entitled, you know? I'm entitled to the government to help me, whatever. But there's a special privilege in terms of following Jesus. I want to start, we're just kind of telling a story in terms of, and you'll see right away, this is God and how he chose us. But it says, so many centuries ago, a king invaded a land that was oppressed by a wicked ruler. The people's suffering was great, but they knew no other way of life. Joy and hope were fleeting. They were in bondage and could not free themselves. In fact, they were deceived by the evil ruler. They believed that he was good and the king was evil. One day the king came to set his people free. He didn't come the way they expected him to come because he was a humble king. He defeated the ruler of the land by allowing his only son to lay down his life that they may be free. For he did not want to rule over them, but for the people of the land to choose to follow him. Some people chose to follow him, and others rejected him, preferring to live a life in bondage to the evil ruler. The people who chose to love and follow him were his precious people. He adopted them as his own sons and daughters. He put new white garments on them and washed them clean because he loved them. He lavished them with his grace, for they did not earn his kindness toward him. At first, the children were overwhelmed with such kindness and love by the king for them. But as time passed, some of them took the king's love for granted and began to wander away from his kingdom. They began to live for their own desires and wants and not for the king who so graciously adopted them. The king would lovingly warn them of the dangers of wandering from him, but they ignored his warnings. They went back to old ways and did not behave as sons and daughters of the king, even though they claimed his name. Their gratitude waned and gave way to entitlement and complacency. They ignore or forgot his words from the beginning. To die to yourself, pick up your cross and follow me. They failed to realize the importance of fellowship with the king and his son. And it was this fellowship that empowered them to live changed lives as his sons and daughters. Obviously, you can see this is about Christianity. This is the gospel. I struggle because sometimes I feel like, do we live as sons and daughters? Or do we just live our life the way we want to? Is God Lord? Or am I Lord? And I would say some days, I hate saying this, but God's not Lord, it's me. And there's those days I wish I could divorce myself. And there's other days where it's like, by God's grace, he is Lord and he is King. I fear for us as a church, when I look at Christianity in America, I fear that we are Ephesus, who lost its first love. We are Sardis, who has a name for ourselves, but we're dead, and we don't know it. And we're Laodicea, that's lukewarm. But yet in the scripture reading, we are called to be priests. What are priests? What are we supposed to do? Are we not supposed to share about our king? Are we not supposed to care for the people? Are we not supposed to be holy? Are we not supposed to be different? But it's so easy when our love begins to wane that it becomes about us. And I feel like that's been the danger. I hate saying this, but there's nowhere in the Bible that talks about retirement. When you die and you get to heaven, okay, we'll talk about retirement, but that's going to be a whole totally different thing. But until we die, we are his children, we are priests, we are chosen by him, and we need to live that way. It becomes different. Okay, as you get older, there's less things you can do. You don't have that physical strength, but you have a wisdom that you didn't have when you were younger. At least I hope. I mean, there are sometimes the older I get, the dumber I feel. But isn't that dumber I feel that how much I need Jesus every day? When I was young, I got it. I can do this, God. The older I get, it's like, I need your grace every day. I need you every moment. And that means, as his son, I have to abide. And our nature, our fleshly nature, is to be self-sufficient. I don't need anyone. I can do this on my own, God. It never brings good fruit when I try to do it on my own. But the older I get, I realize I have nothing to offer anyone but Jesus Christ. Anything good and right about me is because of what he has done and what he is doing. And if I don't abide, there's a warning. There's a warning. In John 15, 4 through 6, remain in me also as I remain in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it remains in the vine, neither can you unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches, sons and daughters. He who remains in me and I in him bear much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If a man does not remain in me, he is thrown out as a branch and withers. And they gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burned. Do you realize nothing good comes from us unless we're abiding in him? And how do we abide? Are we in his word? Because his word is truth and his word is life. Or do we kind of do it periodically because, you know, I'm fine, I believe. And then secondly, are we in fellowship? Are we in prayer? Are we having hearts of gratitude and praise? Because no matter how bad your day is, you are blessed. And we need to remind ourselves. The days that are not good, do you take time to look for all the good? Do you thank him for the health that is given? Your health may be bad, but it can be worse. When you look at people around you, often during the week when we get prayer requests, I'm going, and I'm feeling sorry for myself. I go, wow, thank you, God. I have nothing to complain about. You are good. And do we remember the gift of salvation? That he chose us. Not we. In John 15, 16, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide so that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Did you hear that? He chose us. Okay, I've said this many times. I would not choose me. But he chose me. I'm very aware. He saved me. It wasn't me. He directed my life in such a way that my heart was open to receive him. But not only that, he has kept me. Because I look at my life and the things that have happened without him, I might come to church and I might be in the first pew, first row. But my heart would be so far from him. Those hardships drew me closer to him. Those hardships, those things where I planned my way and God directed it in ways that like, no, wait a minute, I want to go here and he's going this way. How it has kept me and how it's made me grow deeper in him, even though in those times I didn't understand. Do we marvel at that? Do we marvel at salvation? That he chose us before the foundations of the world. I would say he chose us in eternity. And we have the audacity to say to God, I'm a mistake. You don't love me. Or feel like he doesn't love me. That's a feeling. But before time began, he chose us to be his sons and daughters. Is that not something to praise him every day versus complain to him? It's like, this is not going the way I want, God. Do we see the past, present, and future? Oh, I think I do at times. But that's not the truth. Do you know how your life should go? That you end up in heaven? Because how often I choose the way that's most comfortable to my flesh. But his ways are perfect. And his goal is not my comfort. His goal is to bring me to heaven. That is his heart's desire. That's why Jesus came. It wasn't for my best life now. When I read the scriptures, I don't see that. It is my best life now in knowing Jesus, but it is not my best life in my flesh. Do we live life in that gratitude? Or do we live it for us? How often I find at times I'm angry at God because life isn't going the way I want. Because I want to be God. And do I surrender and say, God, I trust you. And please forgive me for wanting to live my life the way I want to live it. I trust that you're God, that your ways are perfect, and that you chose me to be yours. Help me live that way, that I am his son or daughter, that I glorify you. Not me. I feel it. That's my fear as a church. Are we living our lives for Jesus, or are we living our lives for us? Are we making a difference? Or is it religion? We come here, and I'm not just saying our church, I'm saying Church of America, because we want to feel good. I struggle because pretty soon there will be every day hundreds, if not thousands, of people who have passed this church who do not know Jesus, let alone the reservation, let alone Cass County and all its problems. Am I broken? Am I praying for them? I'm a priest. That means I need to be praying. I need to be interceding for them. But in the same breath, am I living my life that it's a light? Or they're going, I didn't know you were a Christian. And am I laying down my will for my Father? Or is it about me? Do we marvel at his love? Do we marvel at his grace that he chose us? Ephesians 2:8-9. We all know it. It's for by grace you've been saved through faith. It's not of yourself. It's a gift from God, not of works, that no one should boast. We're not saved for our goodness. We're saved by his love for us. Again, it's a gift. Are we thankful for that gift? You will never be thankful for that gift if you're living your life for you. And I fear the smaller that when we look at Jesus, who he is and what he's done, the smaller God is in our eyes. And I fear because we do not know the depths of our sin. And it's not saying, okay, you guys were in adultery or whatever. It isn't the point. To know our wrestling with sin, our flesh opposes the things of God. But I think the more we're aware of our sin, the more we're convicted, the more we know how much we need Jesus every day and what he's done. But if we know our sin is little, yeah, Christ died for me. Yeah, I'm saved. It doesn't have the value it should. Salvation is like winning the lottery. But it isn't $1 million. It isn't $1 billion. It's many trillions of dollars. It's more than we can ever imagine. Do we understand that? And do we value it? And winning the lottery of being his son and daughter, then do I live it? Do I live with that responsibility? Or do I live, so it's like I'm a poor person that, like in a foreign country, I live by the dump to try and find food. And all of a sudden the king comes and adopts me as his son. Do I live my life in gratitude to him? Or do I demand, okay, I want a new car, God. I want this, I want that. Or do I go, wow, I don't deserve this? And live in gratitude every day. Salvation is a privilege. It's undeserved. And we're never going to understand his love for us unless we understand the gift. So my question today, do we live it? Do we act it? Do we act like sons and daughters? Do we understand in the scripture reading, are we holy? Okay, number one, my holiness comes through Jesus. But in the same breath, there's a personal responsibility. Am I living my life to honor him? And where there's sin, am I going, no, because I want to glorify him? No, I'm not going there by his grace. Do we fight it? Or do we just simply get into it, well, God will forgive me? If we're holy, we're going to fight it. If we look at ourselves as priests, it's like, it's not an option. Yes, you're going to fail. But is there a heart that's repentant? And repentance means, okay, I'm going to turn from it by the grace of God. I want to read 1 Peter again. For you're not like that, you're a chosen people. Do we live our life as a chosen people? Something we didn't deserve. Only out of God's grace and love, he chose us. Do we live our life as royal priests? That means devoted to God. His very own possession. Okay. If I look at it that way, it's not my life to live for me. It's my life to live for Jesus. And it says, as a result, you can show others the goodness of God. For he called you out of darkness into a wonderful light. Do I live my life that people can see Jesus? Or do I live my life that, like, I didn't know you were? Or, better yet, hypocrite. We are the lighthouse. Does our light shine? Or has it grown dim? I can't tell you. But I would ask, as a people, that we'd be asking him, God, how do you want to use me today? God, bring opportunity that I can be light to the lost, that I can be light to the hurting, versus living my life for me. How do we do that? Because I would be the first to say, my flesh opposes things of God. And in Galatians, it talks about the fruits of the flesh. In Galatians 5:19 through 21, it says, the works of the flesh are revealed, which are adultery, sexual immorality, impurity, and lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, strife, jealousy, rage, selfishness, dissensions and heresies, envy, murderers, drunkenness, carousing, and alike. I warn you, as previously warned you, that those who do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Okay, simply saying, sin brings death. You walk in sin, you will not inherit the kingdom. There is grace, don't get me wrong. But it leads you away when I'm willfully sinning. And I look at me, okay, I'm not having adultery, dear. Yeah, I'll be dead. But I look at my heart. I look at things like my selfishness, my impatience. How often my thoughts are about me, and I gotta go, Jesus, change me. If I'm your child, I need to act like your child. I can only act like your child by your grace. Which leads into the only way we do that is by walking in His Spirit. Fruits of the Spirit. Galatians 5:22-24. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against these things there is no law. And those who belong to Jesus Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Most days I don't feel like I love well. And when I don't sleep well, I'm not patient. And I'm critical. I look for things that are wrong. And I quickly see them. How desperately I need to be filled with the Spirit every day, that I walk in it. That I walk in it as a child versus walking in the flesh. I cannot do that without being empowered by the Holy Spirit. And that's where we need to ask Him every day, fill me, please fill me. Help me to glorify you versus my nature of walking in the flesh. This is where we're called to be different. And I want us to truly be light, to truly be, that's a Christian, that's a someone who loves Jesus. And most days I feel like I utterly fail. So I pray that God would give us a deeper understanding what it is to mean to be His child. That we would know Him more intimately. Then when I look back in a year, I can go, God, you're changing me. And God, I know you more. And God, my life is more surrendered to you than it was a year ago. Christianity isn't a flash in the pan. It's like I come to Jesus and everything's fine. It's the very beginning of our walk with Him, of being sanctified. And that does not end until we get to heaven. So to speak, you never arrive. But it's a life surrendered to Jesus moment by moment, day by day. And I pray that we have a greater understanding of what Jesus has done in the cross. That we stand in awe of such love. And we stand in awe of such grace. Because I can talk about it. But until we know it in our hearts, it's something you talk about, but it doesn't change you. But the more we understand what Jesus has done in the cross, I love what Paul said. I determined to know nothing but Jesus Christ and him crucified. I pray for a greater understanding. Because as I understand it, I stand more in awe of being his son. But also then, my need for him. Amen. Okay.